All right, can we call this meeting to order? And can we have roll call?
John Foley.
Here.
Doug Bernheiser.
Here.
Mary Ann Legal.
Here.
Brian Houston's excused. Brendan O'Meara.
Here.
Ken Getty.
Apparently here.
Neil White.
Here.
All right. Has everybody had a chance to look at the agenda? Have everybody received it?
Yes.
Yes.
Anybody have any additions or changes that need to be made to that? Nope, seeing none. Could I have someone move to approve the agenda as distributed?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right, everybody in favor of approving the agenda?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Now, has everybody received and reviewed the minutes from the July 17th meeting?
Yes, sir.
I have not.
Not, it should be.
Right there.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. That agenda and minutes.
Need a minute, but otherwise, are there any corrections needed to the minutes? Okay. If not, then could I have someone move to approve the minutes as distributed?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay, we have a few folks from the public. Would anybody like to address the commission?
There are actually three of them.
Had to sign in, sorry. You gotta do it right.
You did do the retina scan, didn't you, Ron?
Public comment?
Public comment, anybody?
Anybody wants to have a small group and anybody not know anybody on any research?
Yes, these two ladies.
No, everybody knows everybody.
Hi, I'm Kat Pence. Pilot out here, student pilot. Student pilot.
New hangar owner.
New hangar owner.
Ooh.
Oh, congrats, congrats.
Who are you flying with?
Wayne Gage.
And what are you flying?
150.
Nobody for sale.
I'm Jessica Murdoch. I'm with Alpha Charlie Echo Media. I'm involved in aviation in various branches and whatnot.
And out of here, you're connected with, you want to say? Out of here, the airport?
Oh, I was co-director of Warbirds Over the West this year. I've got multiple clients in aviation and trying to build up the Salem Airport community the best I can with my involvement as a businesswoman, so.
There you go. And of course, needs no introduction.
I'm me.
Aw, you matter.
All right, do we have, if there's no other public comment, we move on to the Tower Chief report.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Rob Broyhill couldn't make it tonight. He asked me to give his report, so it's going to be a brief one. Quarterly total operations, so from our last meeting to this meeting, which encompasses July, August, September. Total operations were $12,684, which is an increase of almost $1,800 from the third quarter previous year. Busiest day was June 22nd with 293 operations. Year-to-date operations are 31,161, which is about a 1.2% increase over the same year-to-date last year, so that's good news. Air traffic mandatory occurrence reports, which is any reports they have with mandatory violations they have to report to the FAA, there are none. No in-flight equipment malfunctions to report, no pilot deviations to report, and no aircraft accidents to report for the quarter. And that's the entirety of his report.
Just a question. So I've forgotten the brand, the one that did the off-field landing on approach to 16, that's not a recordable?
No, it's off the airport.
Okay.
That's the one that landed in the church.
That's right.
Yeah, a few months back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And as far as I understand, I don't know that Rob has to do any reports, and I do believe that probably the quarter before this quarter. I don't remember when that.
You know, you could be right. Yeah.
I'm certainly check with Rob, though, but I don't know that they have to do any mandatory reports for off airport.
Got it. Thank you.
What aircraft was it?
No, it was European.
Oh, okay.
It's the one they make the jet out of also. So there's a.
The V-tail thing on it.
V-tailed thing that's jet powered, and then this one's the.
There it is. That's it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Collectively, we have a great memory.
That's why the panel's so large.
We need a couple more seats.
All right. Any other questions about the Tower Chief report? Seeing none, I guess you get the airport manager's report?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Once again, I included my report. It was a two-page report that I included with the board packet. I'm happy to answer any questions. I don't have anything else to add, although I would like to take this opportunity, because I don't know when we'll have an opportunity to do it again, but I would like to acknowledge Mary Ann LeBold's, what I believe to be about 13 years of service on the Airport Advisory Commission, in 4 3-year stints, including the first year where I think you must have filled in for somebody else in 2006. Does that sound about right?
Yep, that sounds about
She's
right.
She's coming up at the end of her 4th 3-year term
serving
this airport on this advisory commission since 2006. So her term officially ends in December. I hope the chair would entertain an opportunity to invite her back for a formal presentation at a future date.
Absolutely. I hope, you can do that.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. Second that.
So, other than that, if there's any questions about the report I submit, I'd be happy to answer those. Otherwise, I don't have anything else to add.
I have a couple questions. Was there anything of note from the Salem Airport User Group meetings in the interim?
No, we just had a great discussion talking about, got a great report from the beautification committee about location of flagpoles and chairs and whatever, and just kind of figuring out where to put that. Be a great way to honor former pilots from the airport and those that should be recognized as well. So, yeah, it's great. It's a great time of discussion. I really enjoy that meeting once a month.
And then the only other question I had, any updates on hangar inspections and compliance things we talked about?
Really anything of any magnitude. There have been several hangars that have changed hands recently, sitting right here, right. Which wasn't a compliance issue to begin with. there's still a handful that we need to resolve. We'll probably do that through hangar inspections here in the near future. A couple of folks that are in the process of going to sell their hangars, but have to clear out some of their stuff. So there's a lot of folks that are kind of in the process of compliance, I guess I would say. But there's not anything of any magnitude considering the report.
All right, thank you.
I was especially impressed with your photograph last meeting of the all the debris pickup that you found around the airport. And
fog collection. You know, we found something else recently. I can't. Now, off the top of my head, what it was, but another one of those "how did that get here" things out in the middle of the airfield.
Well, it shows how good a manager you are by the attention to detail that you have.
Pass that on to my operations folks. Was that a fish? No, the fish was a while back. Found a catfish on the runway.
Wow. Let's see. Any other questions for the airport manager? Seeing none, I guess we can move on to the next agenda item, which is action items. And we don't have any action items that were announced on the agenda, so we can move right on to other items for commission discussion. And I believe, Ken, I think you had something you wanted to bring before us.
Yeah, I had John and Darcy print out couple editorials from the Statesman Journal about this commercial airline service that's being proposed, as well as an opposition editorial that appeared last year that you can read over at your leisure now. That I was going to make a motion, but I've been told that it requires a 1-week notice to put it under new business, so let it be a 3-month notice that we can discuss.
What is the motion that you want to put forward?
About putting this proposal out for public comment to the neighborhood associations. There's 9 of them throughout the city, with the pros and cons being presented. And then publish those in the Salem Connections online newsletter distribution, so the public is aware of what this proposal is about, given both sides of it. And I'm kind of split down the middle myself, but I do feel that it's kind of redundant And the only person that's profiting from it is these consultants. And I don't know the relationship between the consultants and the city have. But when it comes to spending public money, like was done at the last attempt, they remodeled the general aviation terminal and provides us a nice room to have our meetings, but otherwise not being used. Except in emergencies, I heard that this might become the operation center if there is an emergency, which is good news. So that was generally what, go ahead.
Tell me if it's not appropriate for me to say these things now, but it's a shame Ron's not here. Ron Sturba is an airport bum. It's a technical term. but he's active in the neighborhood associations as well, and he's probably all over it with them. But he's usually here, and he probably could have told us about that. And also, I'm thinking it was in July, as a commission, we wrote a letter, and I've been through my book many times. I can't find a copy of the letter, but maybe somebody else has it handy. But we wrote a letter in support of the scheduled airline service.
Okay.
And so...
Previous July, last summer, 2018.
Last summer, that was...
Was it 2018? Wow.
It was a recommendation to the city council to support the public. There's a citizen group steering committee that's driving the whole thing, and it was a letter of support essentially to support their efforts to apply for grants and put money towards it. So there hasn't been any city money spent on it, nor is there any plan to spend any city money.
Uh-huh.
If at some point air service were to become a reality and there was going to be some need for the airport or the larger city to spend money, whether it be revenue guarantees or fee waivers or anything like that, that would be a council action either through our budget or through a special order of business to spend money we hadn't otherwise budgeted. So that would be something that would come before this commission before that would be the case. So at this point, it's not a city effort, just to be clear. It's a citizen, primarily business group in the city.
Right.
But anyway, just wanted to clarify that.
But you have been spending time and effort, that speed dating that you did with, it's noted in one of these articles, trying to attract airlines, and it's my feeling that airlines have marketing analysts that look at opportunities to make money, and they're not banging on our doors. For example, when Uber and Lyft came to town, they both, you know, came in. There was a couple weeks ago was an article in the Journal about a skateboard effort to come in for skateboard rentals. Now, I know they don't normally leave the ground. Of course, some of them try to catch the mayor, but those are examples of businesses wanting to come. And I don't see the airlines banging on the doors to offer services. I think they're looking at the last couple of attempts and found there was a lot of money spent, and they didn't get off the ground for a while. And one of them that did, I believe, flew from here to Newport, and that was the extent of their service. So it was primarily the Delta Airlines that flew to Salt Lake, which is fine if you're going east or east, maybe south to... from there, but that was their hub, so that's the service they provided. So I think it's kind of putting the cart in front of the horse, which just gives the horse a bloody nose and a headache and angry at the farmer for trying to do that. And another example would be trying to take off an airplane backwards. So you point the tail up the runway, and that's I just don't see the airlines coming into town to
But it's not a decision that city's got anything to do with at this point.
Well, yeah.
We can't influence it from here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think since it's a private effort, I think we have no influence on it.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the city do things like build this terminal or remodel the terminal.
That was how many years ago?
A decade ago.
I'm going to say
2010.
Yeah, 2007 is when Delta the poster in my living room.
And I don't know enough about it to comment really, but this wouldn't probably work today for, it's just not a, it's not a public effort at this point. It's no, there's not public, there's not city money in it, as John pointed out. So I think we have to just bide our time. If it does come to a point where we have influence or have, I've been asked to comment, I think that's the appropriate time. But now I don't even know who we'd talk to.
Ken, I think if I understood your, what your motion was, it wasn't for us to, you were going to ask, you were going to propose a motion that we refer this to the neighborhood associations, or would we request the city to do that?
Well, it would be through the city that that they take action to publicize this effort to get public comment, because there's going to be, if it's successful, there's going to be upward of 10 planes a day coming and going to service these three destinations.
I've never heard anything that would involve 10 airplanes. But again, okay, this is a private enterprise. I don't know why the city would want to get involved right now.
Yeah, the three cities, is, are they going to go to San Francisco or Seattle or Denver? Not all three.
Not all three?
No.
Okay. Well, that would be up to the airlines.
Yes.
Yes.
I just don't see them coming in for one airport.
Oh, like a United Express or something like that could.
Yeah, well, they've...
Eugene has very few. What, a couple a day, maybe?
Flights? Commercial flights?
Commercial flights.
Oh, they have several per day.
But per airline. I mean, if you look at Allegiant, they have...
Well, Allegiant's is a couple times a week, but the main flying carriers are probably three or four flights a day each, I would guess, of Eugene.
Anyway, I just, from my perspective, we shouldn't really be making any movement towards the city and asking them to be involved. They're not involved. If it becomes an issue down the road, and I think there's been lots of information in the paper, I don't see how the public could avoid knowing about it. But we can't have any influence on the group that's promoting it. Ron can. We can't.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment?
Or, sure.
Okay. We've been heavily involved in this as a private entity looking to bring commercial service in here. And I know if the neighborhood associations would like to have input, get information about what's good information and proper information, they're more than welcome to come to any of the meetings that we have. We had a large one down at the convention center. We mm-hmm. had one here as well. We had two here, actually, and there's another one coming up, I'm trying to think, it's on the Fly SLE website, but we would welcome them to come and hear about information on that. And Doug is absolutely right, there's no public money in this at all. There hasn't been any, and you can correct me, there hasn't been any contact between the city and or the specialists, the airline specialists.
Yeah.
That's been strictly this group and them looking at what the numbers are, kind of thing. So anyway, we would welcome any people coming and asking questions and seeing what the effort's about.
Yeah. Well, John's been talking a lot over the last few months that I've been on the board about his involvement in soliciting airline services, the speed dating and other contacts that are happening. So I just thought the public should be aware, because it will, if successful, result in more aircraft activity, which is a plus and minus. Like I say, I'm kind of in the middle of this, but certainly not making the choice of airlines coming to the city, but I don't see them knocking on the door either.
So, if they want more information, we're happy to disseminate that.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you.
And we've been very open about that, and of course the involvement of the airport has been in the minutes as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of misinformation as about why Delta left, and there's also been a lot of misinformation as to what's happening as far as monies go and who's involved, and you know, is the study putting money in, is it not, that kind of thing. We'd be happy to clear that up for the
folks. Yes.
So.
Right, and in our report to council, I mean, they are aware, and it was approved by council, that the staff time would be, and any expense would be only because, only to the extent that they're proposing using our facility, the city facility, so we want to make sure that the right information is given to the airlines, and that they're not speaking on behalf of the city without somebody from the city being in attendance to correct any misinformation or any of that. So, you know, it's always a little bit of a challenge when you have private entities going to air service development conferences and speaking about the airport itself. That's really been the extent of our, the city actually made a conscious decision not to solicit air service or to seek air service. The business community chose to do that in the absence of the city wanting to do that. So, though we are sort of, I guess, involved on the periphery, really for that reason only. Again, if there were going to be any additional city support, be it financial or otherwise, that would take council, additional council action. So I'm limited in what I can do and how I can participate. I would maybe recommend, and I do go to the steering committee groups at the Chamber of Commerce when they have the committee meetings. You know, it's possible maybe something off the website could be sent to the neighborhood groups just for information only, or you know, at least to let them know a website exists, you know, so that the information does get out there to the community if they're not aware of it.
Well, the information in that opposition editorial was interesting, and as a negative side or a downside of the proposal, and I think both sides should be presented to the public, not just the wine country aspect and the changing Salem, which I don't see a lot of changes, more homeless, but more apartment complexes springing up all over town. And eventually, there's going to be a negotiation for rental over this facility. So the city will become involved at some point.
Obviously, but if they want to lease space here at the airport, then we have to be involved.
Well, they have to put their passengers somewhere. And
so
I suspect
at that point that we obviously would be involved, and we would make sure that council is aware that there's mm-hmm. a letter of intent from an airline to operate here. Typically, you get those months in advance.
Yeah.
We couldn't do anything until the TSA was here and got their checkpoint set up anyway, so there's several months in advance to be ready to serve an air carrier. So if it happens sometime in the future, we'll obviously have to be involved, and we will be involved, but ultimately it'll be up to the community if that service either comes here in the first place or survives in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
The ridership is what's going to make it or break it, and that's all there is to it.
They've raised a couple $1 million that the consultant's getting a chunk of it, and like I say, I don't see him knocking on the door. So.
But it's not our money.
No.
Again, that's all Ron's money, and he gets to spend it like he'd like.
You didn't donate some?
I haven't yet.
I will make a correction, sir. They've only raised close to $1 million, and they need $1.3 million in order to
start. I saw numbers like 1.7, but
that's
what they need. Okay. Well, good luck to them. How long are they going to keep at this? It's been a year and a half now.
Well, as long as there shows interest.
Yeah.
On a sidebar, because on the articles that he was referring to,
uh-huh.
it talked about HUT that to file for Chapter 11.
Yeah, HUT was actually purchased by Groom Transportation that's here now. So
okay.
they filed for reorganization, but then Groom was operating in Salem also, and so they were purchased.
I believe that was a link to a different article.
Yes.
That was in the Statesman Journal. So.
I guess, is there any additional discussion that we need to have now on this topic? I guess, Ken, do you understand what would need to happen if you were to pursue this motion for the next meeting?
Give a week's notice.
But we want to make sure.
Yeah, so you have to be on the agenda, notice to the public
uh-huh.
what we're going, if there's going to be any rule by a public commission. That way, if the public wants to come and speak and hear the deliberation before the vote, they have the opportunity to do so. So we can't bring up things at the last moment to vote on because then the public isn't aware of it. So if there is going to be any sort of a motion, then obviously there has to be talk about the topic and then kind of what the motion is going to accomplish, and then you all deliberate whether you want to approve that or not. And then so it has to be, if it's obviously an unsolicited request to council or something to send something out publicly, then that's has to explain the motion so that there's actually an action item at the end of it. Mm-hmm. If you'd rather handle it informally where you ask the, you know, steering committee to just notify the neighborhood groups or something like that, we can do that, you know, as part of our daily businesses after the whole day AC.
So you mean the Salem, the airport users group could be involved?
Could be. Travel Salem's also looking at Travel Salem's part of this yep. committee, yep. so there's a lot of local in the Chamber of Commerce, obviously, part of it, so you could contact those organizations and ask them to send out information. I think there's a lot of ways to go that maybe don't yeah. involve the AAC or a recommendation to council, because I don't think there's really anything for council to act on. That would just be my recommendation, but if you decide that you want to have something to vote on in January, the January meeting, then to kind of put together what that motion is going to be and who it's going to mm-hmm. go to. So then what happens is if the AAC were to approve the action item, then typically there's a letter signed by the chair to whomever it is you're making the recommendation and explains what it is you're recommending. So kind of keep that in mind and put that together. And then typically about a week before the meeting, we send the agenda out publicly. So generally about a week before that, we'll talk if there's any action items or anything we need to vote about. So mm-hmm. after the new year, just let us know and we'll get on the agenda if there's a need to.
I was appointed as a representative of the residents, mm-hmm. not the airline community, not a pilot for 30 years. So I thought it was prudent to seek that the public is aware of what's going on with this, that other than just ads in the or editorials or articles in the newspaper. Okay.
Well, if there's no further discussion on this,
I'm sure that these July 23rd, 2018 minutes should be on the website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it might be helpful to you to go and read those minutes. Because they talk about the position that we put forward.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's a year and a half ago. Gosh, I thought it was just last summer. Oh.
It was last summer.
Yeah,
summer before. Yeah.
But it would be good for you to read that to see the language
yeah.
that either we're going to go forward with or say, oops, we shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
July 23rd, 2018.
Okay. Having not gone through all the previous minutes. Thank you.
All right. Neil, did you have any updates on the Emergency Preparedness Committee?
No.
Two
years ago at the council meeting in the fall, we established a committee to pick up some of the actions that should be taken to deal with Cascadia. Everybody is familiar with the term Cascadia, okay. And so I did know if you wanted to just kind of see what we've accomplished to date as far as the latest version of the plan, and with the caveat is that John has the latest version of what the committee came up with, and he is going to reformat that and add language that's important to the airport that we aren't privy to, not that we're not privy, but he's certainly in the driver's seat on this, and also things that the city is going to expect. So what we've got, if you wanted me to go through it, probably wouldn't take much more than 5 minutes, I don't think, show you what we've got so far after 2 years worth of meetings and lots of time spent getting this thing up to speed.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sorry. No, I just said something. Visual aids.
Yeah, when you show up with a movie, you're in.
And please, John, anything that you want to throw in while we're going through this, obviously John is an integral part of the meeting. Ron Peters was an integral part of the committee. Colonel Houston across the street, myself. And we have the Salem emergency manager, who is now Greg Walsh, after about, he's been here about a year, hasn't he, Greg?
gosh, I'm losing track of time. It's probably been okay. Closer to 2 months.
Kathleen Silva has only been here now for about 3 months. She replaced Ed Flick from the County Emergency Services. And just to let you know on our agenda for next Monday, the representative from Portland General Electric will be here to discuss two things. One will be a microgrid for the airport, and the other is the existing grids right now, because as we can best determine, there's about four grids coming into the airport. Where do they go? Where do they come from? And it would be nice to be able to identify that so that if we want to put emergency generators, we know where the power is coming from, where it's going to. And of course, the emergency generators, you know, we may be getting help from state funds to do that, and from the and also possibly even from FEMA. So anyway, the first part of this is really kind of an introduction, and it basically talks about the Cascadia, what the Salem is a forward staging area for presuming that the airport is going to be operational. And according to Dr. Chris Goldfinger, who is kind of the guru, if you will, for Cascadia, all along the West Coast and traveled extensively to Japan and got a lot of information from them, because obviously they're almost the world leaders on earthquake preparedness and resiliency. Dr. Goldfinger has actually said that he feels like the airports within the Willamette Valley are going to be operational. And that may mean it requires little or no maintenance to get them up online, but we will not have is electrical power, because the power lines and the towers are very likely coming down. And there's 689 bridges between the I-5 corridor and the coast, of which about 399 of them, to be exact, are expected to be unserviceable, if not totally destroyed. Within the city of Salem, there are 57 bridges. Four out of the 57 are resilient. So there's a whole lot of little isolated islands people are going to find themselves in, with landslides and everything, and bridges down. Getting supplies into any town is going to be a major challenge for probably several months, if not longer. Very likely if we're talking years before the bridges are up and running full strength. So FEMA, if Salem is operational, will be bringing in relief supplies. And then from there, we have to be able to get relief supplies out to, according to OEM, to five counties: Marion, Yamhill, Polk, Lynn, and Benton counties. Those are primarily our counties of responsibility. So we'll all be offloading supplies from C-17s. They can operate here, and we can operate four C-17s at a time on the ground. They refer to that as a MOG, maximum on ground. And the turnaround time is about 2 hours and 30 to 2 hours and 45 minutes to get them in and out. So conceivably, we could get, if we have 24-hour day operations, 32 operations per day, sorties per day from a C-130, or C-17s, hopefully. And so we rely on heavier equipment like 10K forklifts from Peterson or Sunbelt, along with generators and so on, to light up the operational area. If there's medical evacuation, and the state is really trying to make that a minimal amount, if at all possible, of medical evacuees, just because we're not going to be set up for that, but we could. This terminal building, the room we're in right now, would be a primary area to handle medical evacuation. But the caveat to that is, if all the bridges are down, this is my personal opinion, if all the bridges are down, how do those people that want to get evacuated going to get here?
And where are they going that are not already crowded?
Well, that's not a problem. You take them over to Boise, take them to Spokane or whatever, they'll be loading up on C-17s or C-130s and flying out of here. Uh-huh. But I just see them getting here as being a real challenge. So the bottom line is, we're going to have all these emergency supplies in. And so we're going to be relying on small general aviation aircraft to take them out to Yamhill, to Polk, to Benton, Linn County, as well as Marion County, which incorporates 746,000 people on the 2010 census. So if we're going to provide people two meals per day, that will require 19 out of the 32 C-17s coming in per day.
What was the total population?
746,000 on those five counties.
750,000.
Yeah. So when the shaking stops, somebody has to go over to John's office. If not John, then Joey or somebody on his staff. Darcy will come in, and she'll be running the airport.
That's my plan.
And this, by the way, is a living document. It's not going to be done in a year from now when John has reformatted it, because things will always be changing and updating. For example, ODA wants to get a new facility, and in the new facility, they want to have a conference room that can be used as an EOC, Emergency Operating Center, to include the power outlets that are fed by generators, and already pre-installed antennas on the roof, ham radios and so on, et cetera. So when those things come online, those are additions to the document we're going to be creating. So Darcy pulls the book off the shelf, opens it up, and the first thing she's going to be addressing is, you know, what do I have to do right now, you know? And the first thing, or let's just say, let's blame it on Joey, okay? The first thing that Joey's going to have to do is go through this checklist, and he's going to have to do a visual inspection of any damage for all the aprons, the taxiways, the facilities itself. Is the tower still standing? The tower, by the way, is retrofitted for seismic resiliency. But that's all fine and good, because they only have 2 hours of battery life and they don't have any electricity anymore. So obviously it's one of the things that we're looking at. So then he's going to contact the city manager and go through the list on what the status is on those things, and report the entire facilities here. Then we've been assessing our communication capabilities through amateur radio, ham, if you will, and get cards, UHF radios, etc., because communications through cell service is going to be totally gone, because no electricity, no cell towers, because they're probably all going to be laying on the ground. And we are working at getting satellite telephones for John here so he can communicate with the city and with the county, because it goes up, our needs then go to the city. If they can meet it, they can't. Goes to the county, if they can meet it, they can't. Then it goes to the state OEM, if they can meet it or they can't. Then we go to FEMA. And then FEMA will jump in when we've exhausted all of our resources, which will probably happen, you know, in the first 24 hours. So then he provides all that status information then to the city. And basically everything that we do, we respond to the city. And we let Greg Walsh, the city emergency manager, and his staff, the EOC, take it from there. You had asked on a council meeting, either last time or the time before, if this information is available to the public. And after discussion with John, so people submit the necessary Freedom of Information Act forms to get the information. They can get it, but it will be redacted. For example, this page 3 has the cell phone numbers and the SAT numbers for the different emergency personnel, and that's information that's not going to be available to the general public. So then we go to runway repair. The city of Salem's identified as a hospital as being the first priority, so clear roads from the freeway to the hospital, and the second priority is the airport, to get crews over here to repair any damage, of, you know, if there is damage. Then we're going to be looking at equipment like light towers, generators, forklifts, and so on, because they have what's called a K-loader, which will hold five pallets at a time, and each pallet is 10,000 pounds, actually 8,789 pounds or whatever. So the typical forklift that we've got over at Salem Medical Center, it sticks that under a 10,000-pound pallet, and he's going nowhere.
That's right.
Because those are typically rated for about 3,500 or 3,600 pounds. But there are organizations, rental companies that do have 10 and 12K forklifts, as well as some smaller ones then, because once we break down, each one of those pallets breaks down into 8 smaller pallets. And these smaller pallets then can be handled by the forklifts that Ron and other people would have. We'll be looking at other organizations, Civil Air Patrol, OPA, Angel of Light, Lifelight, airdrop.com, for example, because we've got to be able to, I look at this as being kind of a reverse Dunkirk, where the boats during the war went over the channel and picked up all the soldiers, 330,000 of them, I think it was, and 800 boats and got them back over to England. Well, we're going to have all general aviation airplanes then go out to McMinnville, to Corvallis, to Albany, to Independence, and so on, and providing those counties then with foods that they need to survive, because those aren't coming into Safeway anymore.
Hope the tower's working. Get all those planes in and out.
Well, there's a lot of backup plans for that. Generators then to operate their radios then, which will be operating. If that doesn't work, then there are temporary towers provided by the Air Guard or Reserve, the Air Force, FEMA, whoever, I don't care where it comes from. There's one sitting down there in Klamath Falls. And so they just drive a Chinook over there, pick it up, and bring it over and set it down, totally self-contained, and they can operate out of that.
Well, couldn't airplanes go in and out without a tower?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Carefully.
But that will be an aircraft commander's call.
Right. But I mean, there's what, 10 towered airports in Oregon?
Right, yeah.
Right, but you're dealing with an emergency situation.
Oh, absolutely. I understand. Yeah. It's just that not all airports have towers.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Over here, on our side of the mountain, if you will, it's going to be, well, Portland's not going to be operational. I mean, everybody is saying that because of liquefaction, that Portland International, as it is right now, is going to sink into the landfill that it was built on. They are looking at long-range plans to put pilings in to go down to bedrock to hold the runway, and they're looking at Japan because they had an airport, the exact same scenario, and it withstood the last 2010 earthquake. Was it 2010 or 2010? And so, but that's going to be a long range. But you know, we don't know when this thing's going to happen. We know it will, but we don't know when. Obviously, right now we are 79 years overdue for the southern half of the subduction zone, which is from Newport south. So, and that's when I say overdue, we're talking about an 8 to a 9 point earthquake, which would be terribly devastating. Storage facilities, obviously, is going to be something we really need to look at. Of course, we've got some distinct advantages with NORPAC across the street, the new Amazon facility over here, Home Depot, their warehouse, and so on. And we'll probably store a lot of things that are going to be transmitted in the Salem area at the fairgrounds, in the fairgrounds.
Is the NORPAC going out of business?
But we don't care, as long as we get keys to the door.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah.
Or a hammer.
And stuff to put in them.
Oh, yeah. And Garmin. Garmin's got a nice facility over there. Yeah. Another disaster relief organizations we're going to be tapping into and working and coordinating with, Civil Air Patrol, Red Cross, the Army Guard, Salvation Army, and so on, et cetera. We're also working on what equipment and supplies we need to have. What do we have now on hand? What do we need? Because right now, about the only thing that we have on hand are VHF radios to communicate with aircraft. So we really need to beef up our communications. And I don't remember if the fire station has a sat radio. No. Okay. So anyway, communication is going to be a big thing, you know, to be able to get all this thing coordinated. Rental from, like I said, Peterson Cat and Sunbelt. These are pending projects that we're working on. Assessment of the tower, that's been done. Generator transfer switch, because when we get these generators, we got power now, but how do we plug the generators into the existing lines, okay? And at a cost of about $500 a pop, you have what is referred to as a generator transfer switch, which is basically a pigtail coming out of Ron's power box, and then we just connect the the generators to that pigtail, if you will, and we're off and running to get fuel, because we can have 16,000 gallons of fuel over here, but how do you get it out? So we have to have some kind of electrical power. Those are, what, to use John's favorite phrase, low-hanging fruit, you know, that we don't have to spend a lot of dollars to get a lot of bang for the buck, if you will. Like I said, next Monday, we're going to be addressing the microgrid generators for Radio Sosilla Patrol, because they have a really good facility with radios over here, so they'll be a major player as well. Then we have what you would call our B projects, and those are kind of on the back burner. We got to get those as money is coming in. For example, House Bill 2087 dedicated $5 million towards resiliency. But $5 million, you know, can evaporate, you know, almost instantly. Transporting key personnel. There's three helicopter operations. And we need people like John on the field, and John lives on the other side of the river. Well, that bridge is going to be down. So how do we get John over here? So we're looking at helicopter companies establishing MOUs to get, you know, to say, okay, we will dedicate to our 44s for transporting emergency personnel.
Take the ferry.
Long-term projects, like I said, just a lot of things going on, exercises in 2020, MOUs, like I say, commercial propane, because a lot of the commercial forklifts are run off of propane, and the Oregon emergency fuel plan did not even mention propane as a resource. And all of a sudden they go like, ooh. So in 2022, when they rewrite the plan, propane will be part of it. So we'll be able to fuel up the front end loaders, I mean the forklifts, with propane. Then we go into supplementals, go into the FEMA inspection. And I mentioned they identified areas on the airport that would be how many aircraft could be supported and what the turnaround time is and so on. 746,702 was the 2017 populace census for those five counties. And the, like I said, each skid is 8,784 pounds, but they're broken down into eight pallets. So each pallet, after you break the saran wrap or shrink wrap, whatever you call it, is 1,098 pounds. So his 3,500 pound forklift will be able to handle the thing with no problem.
And these are rear-loaded airplanes,
yes,
that have ramps?
Yes. Well, they have a K-loader that will go in, and they'll pick up five or six of these 10,000-pound pallets, so 50,000 pounds at a time. Then they'll bring it out, drop it down the ground, and then the 10 or 12K forklifts will offload that from the K-loader onto the ground. We'll break that down, and then we'll take the small forklifts and then move them over to, mm-hmm, the storage areas, whether it be across the street to NORPAC or Garmin or Bona Vista's, well, and
wherever,
Colson, yeah, Hangar, and so on, et cetera.
And those are for side doors on the aircraft?
No. No. They'll all be loaded off the back ramp.
Off the back.
And then once they're on the ground,
uh-huh,
then we'll just have the smaller forklifts come in and take them over to the storage area where they can be distributed. One of the distribution points would like to make it the south ramp, where we could put the pallets, these 1,000-pound pallets, 1,098-pound pallets, directly onto the trucks, and then truck them over to the fairgrounds. The problem is that south ramp can't even handle the weight of a loaded semi. So one of the things that we need to address when we get some money would be to reinforce that ramp, because that's a large chunk of real estate that is basically unusable.
Are there any catering trucks around?
I haven't even gone there.
That kind of scissors up a box truck to access side doors. I don't know if FedEx is using that method, or
you'd probably get those if you have air service.
You drive yours over the bridge that's down.
Zing! We're looking at airport security, police, National Guard, airplane refueling. Obviously, Ron's going to be taking care of all that. And you notice on that list of telephone numbers that I had on page 3, right now Ron's on there. But this, being a living document, will be reviewed by this council once a year, and to update things like, well, 20 years from now, after Ron's retired, then, you know, the next manager, we need to have contact points for them, so on, et cetera. So this thing will never be complete. It'll always be updated as it should be.
Could I do a time check here real quick, just to, everybody doing okay for time? I know we're about 20 minutes into the 5-minute presentation.
That's all right. Yeah, I'm good.
A lot of this is supplemental peripheral information. For example, somebody brought up the question about Bailey Bridges. Can we throw up a Bailey Bridge from here to West Salem? There's one Bailey Bridge in the state of Oregon, and we aren't going to get it. So, you know, but we have that in here so that when somebody sits down and goes through this information, we're not one thing to make them reinvent the wheel. We've covered that area, and that's not really viable. Another one was the Jones Act, where it says that if you are transporting things, it can only be done by a ship that is built in the United States, owned by the United States Corporation, and crewed by United States citizens. Okay, well, under this kind of a scenario, when the world is just falling down around us, it's time to say, time out, we waive the Jones Act, you know. But if somebody in 5 years from now says, well, what about the Jones Act? It's in here. Mm-hmm. We've covered that. So as we address things, then we try to document it so that we don't have to go over that again 5-10 years from now.
Everybody know that Bailey Bridge is a transportable bridge.
I figured it was.
No. The pontoon bridge, like there you see in the movies. Mm. Okay, I'm done with my 5-minute presentation.
How about security? Once people find out there's food at the airport, they may start mobbing. Like I live a couple miles away, an easy run to pick up some food.
FEMA wanted a facility with a perimeter fence, but people are going to climb over fences. And I tried to pin down the FEMA guy on this question on a one-on-one discussion, you know. And are we going to have armed guards here and somebody's climbing back over the fence with a loaf of bread, we're going to shoot him? No, obviously not. But we, you know, the city of Salem and maybe the National Guard could be providing security. As far as that 1% of the population, that's really beyond our scope.
And well, it depends on how hungry people are. It may get up to 100.
Absolutely. Yeah, that 1% may increase, you know.
Yeah.
But that security quotient is in there.
Yeah.
They're aware of the uh-huh. need for it.
And yeah. FEMA is working the issue. That's just beyond the scope of the AAC.
And there will be relief facilities around where people can get food and water, and I yes. suspect.
Yes. That's a good time for me to make my comment.
What was that?
Several years ago, I flew over to the pancake breakfast at Baker City first Saturday in June, and they had little booths and what's going on in the community. And there was a group there, the people there felt that their role in a disaster like this would be to take people from communities in the Willamette Valley and take care of them over there. And that was what their emergency preparedness plans were all about. Meaning I thought it was so cool. Yeah.
Flying people out from here to
yeah.
just to
well,
get
well,
them
however, in. However, but there would be, they would, you know, accommodate people, a place to stay, they'd feed them. And they saw that as their role in this disaster. And I assume you guys are all over this.
I wasn't aware of that at all. John, were you?
Yeah.
That's new to me. That is great.
Oh, it was. I was just stunned. I was like, here's these people out here in the, you know, eastern Oregon making all these plans to take care of us. But there's some good information for you.
Thank you.
Baker City.
I have a really question in that.
Tell them I need a vacation and.
Baker City.
Yeah.
Been there.
In an emergency situation like this, have they stated whether or not they're going to close the runway to only emergency operations? Because
be
I want to evacuate myself or others in my own damn plane.
There'll be a TFR in place.
Okay.
And so you're not going anywhere unless you're on the list.
Right.
And we are compiling a list of pilots that have volunteered to, and I'll be working this, that I'll be redoubling my efforts in next, starting next August, to start getting everybody that has a plane in the state of Oregon to be available to work this situation. But that won't be until next August I can start on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Basically, right at the very front end, the military has their claws on the airport.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that it's ready to go.
They have
a team that comes and does that, and then once their ops are up and running, then civilian can come in and meld with that. Right.
So the Oregon Guard will take off their helicopters for emergencies and...
Right. They're tasked with their own job.
As dictated by the DOD.
Right.
We cannot ask for anything. They won't accept any requests from us.
So no security from the Guard to protect their facilities or the runway? Or...
No, that's not true. There is what they need to do to get their operations up and running, whether it's security or what.
Mm-hmm.
But once those are secure and running, then the civilian side can come in and work with that.
I see.
So they're certainly going to secure their footprint here.
So there may not be any planes landing until the Guard is ready.
Correct.
Wow.
To kind of finish up on your question, I have a list of about 100 pilots and planes right now. You're not on the list.
The bigger the plane, the better, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that works.
Not your experimental two-seater.
I drive a little Cessna 150, but I can put 200 pounds worth of food or emergency supplies in the airplane.
Yeah.
Throw the extra seat out.
Fly over Independence or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the Cherokee, I just get to make more trips.
That's right.
Okay. One sandwich at a time.
What a relief, yeah.
There was a lot of information online following the hurricanes about general aviation pilots that wanted to help out transporting supplies and people and all that kind of stuff, and the kind of problems that they were running into and whether they were allowed to land where they were wanted to land, that sort of thing. So the hurricanes in the Caribbean.
Yeah. Okay.
And
Haiti as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and people want, but it was, you know, they were urging people to check before you go.
The Loma Linda earthquake, general aviation, because Watsonville was cut off from the rest of the world, brought in 1.5 million pounds worth of food supplies after that earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
1.5 million in broken up into 172s, Cherokees, 150s.
Neil, it's an impressive bit of work you guys have done. It really is. It's
been a good team to work with. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Right. Your work group.
Good job.
Thank you, Chairman. If I might say,
yes.
If I might get emotional about this, this group is far beyond anybody else in the state, if not the Northwest, in their preparedness and foresight in going beyond getting contracts ready to go with civilian contractors and so on. They're light years ahead of anybody else in the state on this project, and I'm just really proud of them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they've done that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any other questions? Thank you, Neil. I don't believe we have any other items for commission discussion. So we can move on to the next, last item on the agenda, which would be the chair's report. And I think the only thing I wanted to bring folks' attention to is that on the agenda for the January meeting, we'll be nominating and electing new officers for a new one-year term. So please be thinking about nominations for chair and vice chair. And then outside of that, I don't have anything else, so I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor of adjourning? Do we need to vote on that? I don't think we need to vote on that.
All right. Thank you. It's done. Thank you, John.